It's one of those special, beautiful, light Gateshead. We're actually just over the river, technically in Newcastle now, at La Tasca, a Spanish restaurant, and we've been treated to food and drink, and I am stood with one of the most inspirational speakers of the day by far, because he told incredibly well an amazing story of something he got into accidentally. I'm going to let you introduce yourself and the organisation that you're kind of in charge of until tomorrow.
Yeah, my name is Sean Carrasso. I'm the founder of Falling Whistles, and tomorrow I am giving the organisation away.
And something that really struck me when you talked about this organisation that you've been a part of for
6 years.
6 years now, was that it happened kind of by accident, and the whole time it was an organisation that effectively belonged to everybody that had the same ideology, the ideology of peace, and in particular, tell me about the region that you were working in and how it began.
Yeah, I mean, we're a campaign for peace in Congo. And so, you know, it started when I went backpacking. I got lost. I was 26. You know, you don't know much about anything. And after 3 months of sort of getting lost across the African continent and having a great time, because it's a beautiful place, ended up in Congo, and we found kids being tortured for war crimes they'd been forced to commit. We ended up getting the kids pulled out, and that night I wrote a blog, a stupid little blog called Falling Whistles, sent it out to about 80 friends and family, and they forwarded it around the world, and that was the beginning.
And Falling Whistles, the actual title, came about because...
Yeah, one of the boys in the military encampment had told us that the kids who were too small to carry a gun, they had been sent to the front lines of war armed with only a whistle, that they had been sent out as human shields. And so that was sort of one of the stories in the Falling Whistles blog. And I shared it that night, you know, drinking red wine and punching holes through walls and, like, just so angry that these kids were being treated this way. And I woke up the next day to hundreds and then eventually thousands of emails saying, what do we do? And it was sort of like, I have no idea, but we're definitely going to figure this out. And that was really the beginning of the organization. And I think in so many ways that spirit remains, right? It's you know, the mantra has always been, we don't have all the answers, we don't have all the solutions, but we're not going to be quiet while 6 million people lose their lives. Join us in pursuing solutions. And so we're still, you know, 6 years later, trying a lot of new things, right? You're like throwing stuff on the wall, and sometimes we've had massive failures, like cataclysmic, disastrous failures, and we've had some really stunning, exciting successes. And so it's, you know, it's been a trial and error prototyping.
Really good tour, man.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
You going tomorrow? Oh no, you going to?
Yeah, I'm going to Stockholm. Cheers.
Another person who appreciated you.
That's right. That's right. yeah. So we've been, you know, prototyping for 6 years, and I think at the end of 6 years, I'm pretty proud of what we've all built together.
So what will you do when you hand over? And Stockholm's quite an amazing place because it is very structured. I work there quite often.
Yeah.
There's heavy tax. There's a lot of restrictions. But when people want to do stuff,
they do it.
They do it.
That's right.
So bloody well.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the Swedish people are extraordinary that way, right?
They're, yeah.
Efficient and dedicated and with a really high standard of excellence.
And an unbelievable holistic thinking as
that's
well.
Right, that's right. And I think really what, for us, you know, we were very much so a movement of solidarity. Charity felt sort of like a significant part of the problem. And the Swedes really understood that, right? They understood that sort of intuitively. And so there's been a long partnership between us and the Swedish. It's a local chapter. It's called a Whistler Society. We have these Whistler Societies all over the world, in Panama and Korea and all sorts of places. And the Swedish Whistler Society was the first one, I feel like, 5 years ago, who really got what we were doing. And so, to answer your question, you know, we've been building these local chapters all over the world. We've been building a coalition who want to see an end to the war. We've been using that coalition to push against governments and corporations to demand solutions. And throughout that time, the Stockholm Whistler Society was the most impressive. They were always sort of the most creative and the most powerful and the most capable. And at the end of 6 years, we're in a very different place as an organization, and the war is in a very different place. And the Swedish organization has offered to take over Falling Whistles. And I think, you know, when we thought about it, we thought, you know, that's the dream, right? I never really wanted to be the leader of a coalition for peace in Congo. I just wanted to be a part of a coalition for peace in Congo. I wanted to do what I could do. And it turns out I'm not actually that good of a leader, right? I'm sort of a great creator. I'm not that great of a leader, and they really are. And so tomorrow I'll hand over the organization to them and let them do what they can do to grow it, to build it. I think they'll do things with it that we never did and never could have. And then it's a new chapter for me.
So you don't know what you can do?
Well, I'm going to take a moment, for sure. You know, I got some stuff with family I need to deal with, and I'm going to get healthy and a couple things. But at the end of Falling Whistles, at the end of last year, we built a book, our first real book. It's called The Free World Reader. And I'm more proud of it than anything we've done in the last 6 years. And I'd like to build a lot more of those. So it was issue zero. It sort of was the argument of why we think there should be peace and how we get there and why we think there's war in general and how we solve those problems. And I'd like to break down that argument, you know, much more clearly. And so what the Free World Reader is it's what we're doing is taking like great whistleblowing information over the last 1,000 years, cutting it up into small pieces and illuminating it through art to try to tell these cohesive stories about how to solve the great challenges of our time. So I'd like to make a lot more Free World Readers. I'd like to tell the truth about things that generally we like to lie about.
Epic. Absolutely epic. Where can people find more about Falling Whistles?
So fallingwhistles.com is sort of the easiest place. I think what I'd like people to do, though, right now, is go to freeworldreader.com and buy the book. It's $25. There's, you know, 45 authors represented, 12 creative contributors from 6 countries, represents 300 years of history. It's really, really worth the purchase. It's a beautiful piece, and I think that, you know, a lot of people have died for the information that ultimately ended up in that book, and it will present information that people have probably never heard of before, never read before, and that's really worth reading. And so that's where I would go.
And if people want to know more about this, your Twitter name?
Sean Carasso. So SeanCarasso.
Well, it's been great seeing you here. We were at the same festival together.
The Do Lectures.
And I had to leave in an emergency, and now I've managed to catch your talk at Thinking Digital. It was meant to be. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
Chris. Good luck.
Pleasure, man.